Deuteronomy 11, verse 1. Thank you.
God, and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country, what he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the desert until you arrived at this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done.
Verse 18.
Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on your doorframes of your houses and on your gates, so that the days and the days of your children may be many in the Lord that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth.
Thank you very much.
So, boys and girls, I hope you're going to enjoy your prizes and think, even when Sunday school has stopped over the summer, I hope you're going to think carefully about the stuff that you've been learning. But I said earlier on, it's all very well having Sunday school, but why do we teach children these things at all? Some of the things that these kids were learning, particularly the junior group, but even the small group, they're grown-up things, aren't they? Children can't learn stuff like that, can they? Isn't it just stuff for grown-ups? Well, that's what we're going to think about over the next few minutes. You see, if people don't tell you about important things that have happened to them or they remember, then you're not going to know them. Now, I want you all to think carefully. I'm talking to the children, but the grown-ups can join in this as well. Think carefully. What happened 50 years ago this week? Does anybody know? Any of the children know what happened 50 years ago this week? None of you are old enough. What do you reckon, Edward? 50 years ago this week, do you have any idea? You don't know, your dad wasn't born 50 years ago. I wasn't born 50 years ago. Amazing. I wasn't. Anybody else? Any of the other children? Ellie, do you have any idea what happened 50 years ago this week? Terribly famous. Nobody's told you. Well, let's tell them. Go on, Wes. Let's tell them 50 years ago, I think it's Friday or Saturday, this happened. Something happened. Nothing happened. Can we get it to work? Drum roll, please. Fifty years ago this week, on Saturday, something terribly important happened. And one man said some words that none of us will ever forget. Because it's a bit weird how we phrased it, isn't it? He stepped out on a ladder and onto the ground and said, this is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Nobody's ever been able to understand it since. I'm sure he misphrased it. So, yeah, thank you. We've got a much better picture. Animals, children, and technology. Yeah! Okay. That happened. Now, what's that?
An astronaut.
Thank you. Brilliant. 50 years ago on Saturday, a human being walked on the moon for the very first time. How do you know that? Well, because I've just told you, sure. But put your hand up if you're too young to have remembered it. That's interesting, isn't it? See how I framed that? I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up if you remember it. Okay. Now, I wasn't born when it happened. I was nearly born, but I wasn't quite born when it happened. But my brother was born. And just this week, he's been talking about being woken up by my mum and dad really early in the morning, in the middle of the night. He and my sister had come downstairs in their dressing gowns and squat in front of the telly in the middle of the night. And they're all bleary-eyed and they're very excited. And these black and white pictures came through from the moon. And he still remembers it. Now, I wasn't there. But I can feel the excitement as he describes it, because it was so exciting. Put your hand up if you watched that TV broadcast and found it really exciting. Yes, he is. Okay. We've got some very old people here, haven't we? But wasn't it exciting? Well, that's my understanding anyway. I don't remember it. I wasn't born. But it was amazing. And so much of what we have now comes from the scientists putting together stuff to get to the moon. You know, nonstick saucepans, if you ever watch your parents or any of you frying eggs, the Teflon was developed for the moon. And special warmth insoles on your shoes were developed for the moon. And power of computers, wow, it's just gone wild. All the push came so that we could get to the moon. Now, I wonder if you can see the connection. In that passage that Ellie and Amelia read a few minutes ago, the people of Israel are just about to walk, not on the moon, but they're just about to walk into the promised land. They had left Egypt 40 years before, following this really big route all the way round the desert of Sinai. And their children weren't born, and their children hadn't seen all the amazing things the Lord had done. But they could remember when they were young some of the amazing things the Lord had done. For example, they remembered seeing the plagues, which is the next slide. They remember seeing the plagues, all of the plagues. And the Passover feast itself. They remembered that, and they could tell their kids. They remember going through the Red Sea on dry land, when the Lord told Moses, lift up the staff, and he made a path right the way through the Red Sea. They'd been children, but they remembered walking on the dry ground in the middle of the sea with a wall of water on their right and a wall of water on their left. That's what the Bible says. They remembered being at Mount Sinai when the Lord gave the Ten Commandments and it was thunder and lightning and the ground shook. They remembered that. They remembered it. They remembered all the things the Lord had done for them. It was amazing to hear them talk about those things. And in this massive sermon in the book of Deuteronomy we read a moment ago, Moses is reminding those people about the excitement and the experience and all that they'd seen of God, and to tell them to their children. Look back at that passage that Ellie read on Deuteronomy 11 just a moment ago, can you? Deuteronomy 11, page 134. Let me just read it again. Moses said, love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws and his commands always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty, his mighty hand and his outstretched arms, the signs he performed, the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his whole country, what he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, how the Lord brought them to lasting ruin on them. Verse 5, it's going to come up. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the desert until you arrived at this place. And what he did to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done. The point is, you see, Moses understood all very well that the people who'd experience God's blessing and God's anger and seen God at work, the people who had seen him doing things, who knew what it was to see him at work and to be helped and blessed by him, they were the ones who should be telling the next generation. They should be telling their children of all the things that God has done. It's the same all over the Bible. And it's still true today. See, for those of us who are Christians, we've seen and experienced not what the Lord leading us out of slavery in Egypt. If you're a Christian this morning, you haven't been led out of slavery in Egypt. But no, what you have had there is you have understood that thing in Egypt was pointing to a bigger rescue plan, a bigger Passover, the rescue plan of the Lord Jesus dying on a cross. We don't know what it is to be led out of Egypt, but we do know what it is to be rescued through faith in the Lord Jesus as he died on the cross and took the punishment for the wrong that we've done. We do know what it is to have a sacrifice for us. And we do know what it is to trust in one who has beaten death, our biggest enemy, who's risen from the dead. If you're a Christian this morning, then you do know what it is to have real living hope for the future, hope of heaven when you die, hope forever of a new creation. You do know that because you've experienced it for yourself. You know what it's like to open the Bible, I hope, and to see God at work in your heart and your life. And you do know that the Bible, as you read it, changes you and changes your attitude and challenges your thinking and your priorities. You do know that what God says is wrong is always wrong. And you do know that what God says is right is always right. No matter what the news and the telly and the magazines around us say, you do know the life-changing effect of the Holy Spirit ministering to you from the Bible into your heart. And if you're a Christian this morning, you do know, because you've experienced it, what it's like to have prayer answered. You do know that. You've seen God at work. See, those of us who know the Lord's faithfulness should be sharing that news, well, with everybody, but certainly with the next generation. People sometimes say that kids don't matter. But when people said that to the Lord Jesus, let me read to you what he said. It's from Mark chapter 10. Don't turn to it, just listen. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Jesus' message was that kids are important, really important. Now, there's a problem. I've often heard it said to me that when we teach children in Sunday school, when you guys learn about the Bible in Sunday school, I've often heard people say to me that we're brainwashing them. Now, I want to say several things in reply to that. The first is I want to say they come to Sunday school for 1 hour out of 168 hours in a week. Now, would you call that brainwashing? When actually the other 167 hours, at least, they're being brain dirtied the other way. Can I put it like that? I don't think that's brainwashing. I think it's just taking an opportunity to share hope and truth with them. But listen, that's not the whole story, is it? See, I wonder if you noticed the part of the passage, the part that Amelia read. Let's just have a look at it again. Page 134, Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18. Just for sake of time, I haven't gone through the middle section, but we could have done. When Moses says to them this, verse 18, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord your God swore to your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth." In other words, teaching the next generation, teaching you guys, is not just something that needs to happen in Sunday school. It needs to happen all the time. Sunday school can't possibly do that. In that 1 hour per week, you guys can't possibly get that. This is something for mums and dads to do, for aunties and uncles to do, for grannies and granddads to do, for friends and neighbours to do. Teaching about the Lord is meant to happen all the way through every day. And again, before someone says to me, oh, you're brainwashing them, I want to say, well, in that pie chart I showed, it's still all mostly pushing the other way from the telly and the magazines and school and all the rest of it. It's all pushing the other way. But I want to say I'm really glad that you agree that learning about Jesus is washing brains and not learning about him is dirtying them. I'm really glad you agree with that. So you won't have any trouble when we teach them about him, will you? Look at what Moses said. It should be a personal habit. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and in your minds. In other words, when you read about the Bible, it should change what's going on in your thinking, and it should change what's going on in your attitude, your actions, your thoughts, the things that you say are important. Tie them, he says, as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Well, some people literally used to get little verses like the one that Keris had and put them in a little box and tie them on their hands. I think that's maybe going a bit far. I'm not sure it means that. But what it does mean is that what we do with our hands should be following what God has said in the Bible. And what we see with our eyes and our foreheads should be following what God has said in the Bible. This is something not just for Sunday school. This is for all day, every day. It should be a constant topic of family conversation. Let me read verse 19. Maybe you could read it with me. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So when you get when you're at home, instead of not talking to the kids, instead of not talking to the grown-ups, how about, or only talking about the things that you know, this verse tells us to talk about the things the Lord thinks. This is light to live by. That's what it's talking about, light to live by. What does that look like in daily family life? How can you talk about God in family life all the time? Well, here's an idea. Anybody's birthday coming up? Anybody's birthday? Anybody got a birthday anywhere nearby? No. When was your birthday, Edward? 8th of May. Well, it wasn't so long ago, was it? Anybody got one closer than the 8th of May? When's yours, Isaac? August. Well, okay. So back on the 8th of May, I hope as part of your birthday, you thanked God for his faithfulness to you, for looking after you over all these, hundreds of years, isn't it? At least 7 years, is it? 6 years? Seven years. All those 7 years, God has been looking after you. How old are you going to be on the 8th of August, Isaac? 10. A whole decade old. Wow. So on that day in August, you can say to God, thank you, Lord, for looking after me for all of these 10 years. That's part of thinking about this stuff, not just in Sunday school, but all the time. And other anniversaries as well can work like that. Talk about them when we've let the Lord down or when we do wrong. Put your hand up if you're ever told off at home. Yeah, okay. So Justin, and when you're told off and you acknowledge that you've done something wrong, hey, how about not just saying sorry to mum and dad or your brothers, but how about saying sorry to God too? He's part of every day. So how about saying sorry to him too? That's what Moses is describing here. How about trusting in the Lord when we're trying to make a decision or when we're afraid? I'm not going to ask this, but all of us from time to time have doctor's appointments or exams coming up or something. We're a little bit concerned about that. Hey, how about just thinking, well, God is at work in Sunday school. How about praying about the doctor's appointment or praying for help to study for the exam or whatever else that's worrying you? How about getting God to be a part of that? Because he is already. How about obeying the Lord when deciding to what's right and what's wrong? Seeing what his word, the Bible, says. Honoring the Lord when thinking through what's important. Thanking the Lord for his amazing design. This time of year, you walk through fields and you see flowers. Do you know, every time you look down and you see one of those beautiful, intricate flowers with all of the petals and the tiny little stamen and the bees coming in to collect the pollen so they can go and make honey, all of that, the Bible tells me God designed that. Isn't that amazing to do that? Or turning over the leaf and looking on the back of a leaf. Do you know, boys and girls, that if you got a magnifying glass and you looked on the back of a leaf, you would see that every leaf has got tiny little breather holes in where it lets oxygen out and carbon dioxide in? Do you know? Did you know leaves breathe? God designed. We can take delight in all that God has made. And when it gets back to winter, because you'll be asleep, some of you, when this happens now. But on those dark nights when you look up, one of my great delights of walking the dog, one of the only delights of walking the dog in the winter, is to be able to look up on a night sky at 5:30 in the evening and see the stars. And I opened Genesis chapter 1, and as a kind of afterthought, the Bible says, he also made the stars. Do you see? Talk about these things when you're walking along, when you're lying in your bed, when you're... This isn't just something for church. And it isn't just something for Sundays. Look at verse 20 with me while we look at the last picture. Look at verse 20. Now that's a very pretty house, but I thought it illustrated it very well. There's a gate at the front here. You can just see on the picture. And it's got a door frame, and it's got one of those dreadful, very expensive to maintain thatches, but still. Verse 20, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. In other words, says Moses, not necessarily literally, but to constantly remember that all we have and the blessings we know are the Lord's doing. This is a means of great blessing. In other words, teaching the next generation about the Lord is what Sunday school does, but we can't just leave it to Sunday school. All of us have a part in helping the next generation understand what it means to know the Lord at work. In our world, as people turn away from the Lord, they don't have light to live by. They run through life with no direction and no certainty, and before they know it, suddenly they're a good long way through, and tomorrow only brings questions with no answers. But with the Lord, we have massive privilege of knowing where we've come from, where we are, and where we're going, and of seeing him at work on the way. Why do we teach children? Boys and girls, we teach you the things of God so that you've got the great gift of knowing him for life and forever through the Lord Jesus. That's a thrill.